Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Day. Sam McClure and Matty Granlund with you. Hugh Bowman, the champion jockey himself, and also Monty Panesar, all the way from England, ahead of a huge Ashes series that has been boosted, Matt Granlund, from Ben Stokes being added.
Great for the series, isn't it? It's good for England, but good for us too.
That's great.
You want to see the
us.
Best players play, and I was pretty flat that he wasn't going to come out, but suddenly he's going to add a little bit of spark into that team and into that series. So,
I tell you what, I've heard some change of rhetoric in the last 24 hours. I'm not naming names. I like to name names usually, but we've gone from, this is the worst England team that's ever come out. We'll probably win 4-0 to, he helps their middle order and bowls a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be walking the
park. And he's one of the greatest all-rounders of all time.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, that's good. It's good for the series. It's fantastic.
It's great for the series. Interested to hear what Monty thinks about how that's going to change the makeup of the Ashes. But we start tonight where we started last night. Mm. And I'm sorry if people are getting bored of this, please tell us. 133693, new number 133693. I can't for the life of me, Matt, compute what has happened with the different messages coming from the federal and state governments. Now hear me out.
This is over the tennis.
This is over whether unvaccinated players are going to be allowed in Australia A and then B, allowed to play in the Australian Open. It continued today, and I've got a bit of a theory here, so just stick with me.
Okay.
This is Brett Sutton, our Chief Health Officer, earlier today.
Not ultimately my call as to whether they're allowed into the country, but if they are, we will manage that risk, and I think it'll be managed just as robustly if an unvaccinated person is there to go through that full quarantine period. At the end of that 14 days, if they haven't developed illness, then they're not going to be a risk in the same way that a fully vaccinated person is a much lesser risk.
Okay, so the Chief Health Officer says that if unvaccinated players come to Australia, I quote, we will manage that risk.
Mm.
And then the Premier, Daniel Andrews, straight after that comment, got up and said this.
To my mind, I can't understand why the Commonwealth Government would let anybody in that was not an Australian and had not been double-dose vaxxed. We've got a very small cap on unvaccinated Australians, either permanent residents or citizens, coming back, 250 a week. They have to go through the hotel quarantine system and... You know, let's not put any more pressure on that by having people come here who could be vaccinated. It wouldn't make any sense to me that the Commonwealth Government would do different to what the Immigration Minister made very clear the other day.
Okay, so then the Premier says it wouldn't make any sense if the federal government changed their mind.
It's not us. It's the federal government.
Now, if anyone needs a reminder, Alex Hawke, who was the federal Immigration Minister, had this to say last week when directly asked if a tennis player was unvaccinated, if they would be allowed into the country.
You'll need to be double vaccinated to visit Australia. That's a universal application, not just to tennis players. I mean, that's every visitor to Australia will need to be double vaccinated. Our health advice is that when we open the borders, everyone that comes to Australia will need to be double vaccinated. I have a message to everybody that wishes to visit Australia. You'll need to be double vaccinated.
Every visitor to Australia will need to be double vaccinated.
Mm.
Now, that could not be clearer.
So that means they're not coming.
Now, the fact that the Premier and the Chief Health Officer today basically said two different things staggered me.
Yeah.
Now, it's got nothing to do with politics. Please take that out. I'm a sports journalist. I understand that. It staggered me for the reason about the tennis.
Yep.
This is the same Chief Health Officer that has essentially been advising our government on the harshest lockdown that the world has ever seen. Now, whether you agree with that or not is over here. I'm leaving that for different topics. Tom Elliott can talk about that tomorrow. But the fact remains, we have a Chief Health Officer saying, if they're unvaccinated, we can manage it.
Yeah.
Well, that to me is...
Oh, it's a departure from everything that we're doing and everything we've done with the vaccines. To me, Sam, it's just a bit of buck passing. It's not us. It's the federal government. Yes, the federal government can make the decision to allow them in and they serve their 14-day quarantine. Yes, they can. But then the state government could say to Novak Djokovic, if Novak Djokovic is not vaccinated, Yes, you can come to Victoria, Novak, but you can't set foot into Melbourne Park. You can't go to a bar. You can't go to a retail store.
You can't go to a cafe.
You can't go anywhere. So you can just walk around in the open with your mask on. That's all you can do. So the state government and, I suppose, Tennis Australia, they have to make some decisions as well if the federal government allow him in. So I think they're just trying to, you know, pass the buck a little bit. Maybe the federal government, oh, well, it's up to Victoria. Well, they both have to make a call. Federal government makes a call, you can come in, and then the state government makes the call whether or not he or other players can play.
So I'm missing something here. I must have missed something. The federal government made the call. The call has been made. Let's play the immigration minister one more time. Last week, Matty, behind the glass, if we can.
You'll need to be double vaccinated to visit Australia. That's a universal application, not just to tennis players. I mean, that's every visitor to Australia will need to be double vaccinated. Our health advice is that when we open the borders, everyone that comes to Australia will need to be double vaccinated. I have a message to everybody that wishes to visit Australia. You'll need to be double vaccinated.
Now, unless the
That was last week, though. Unless something's changed.
Unless the federal government do a Hawthorne with the Alistair Clarkson, Sam Mitchell handover and say, well, actually, the circumstances have changed, yeah, and Clarko doesn't really want to coach, and we don't want him to coach. And unless they do that, now I'm making light of it because it's sport. They couldn't do that. No. There's been tens of thousands of Australians trying to get back to their home and haven't been able to.
Yep.
Right? So they've been told to get double vaxxed. Get double vaxxed, we can bring you home.
Yep.
And now there's, now, again, I'm not trying to put pressure on the federal government here. That's for the state government to work out. The fascinating thing in all of this is that Tennis Australia is standing there in the middle going, oh, we don't really want to be part of this. We're just, yeah. No,
we'll send a sneaky memo off to our women's players just to give them a bit of a heads up, but we don't know what's going on. It's a bit of a
mess.
They
want the best players.
They do.
I want the best players. You probably want the best players. But Australians deserve to have some clarity,
yep,
as to whether all players get the same treatment or not.
And Victorians, you know. So if you're at the moment under the rules, if you're not double vaxxed, you can't go in to watch the tennis. But potentially we could have players playing who are not vaxxed at all. And I want to ask that question to our listeners, 133-693. That's that new phone number,
yes,
Sam. If Novak Djokovic is not there, and if there's a raft of players that don't come to Melbourne Park and play at the Australian Open, will that stop you from going?
Because will you go? Yep.
I don't think so. I think people just love the event, and if Novak's not there and some other superstars aren't there, I don't think
even
it would affect
Tsitsipas it. Even Tsitsipas and Medvedev and
I don't
Zverev.
Think so. I could be wrong. I'd love to hear from our listeners, 133-693. If all those star players, because they're not double vaxxed, don't come and are banned from attending Melbourne Park, would you still come? Would it stop you from going to watch the Australian Open?
Sam's on the road to kick us off. G'day, Sam. Sam, try us again.
What a rule of the week. Makes it a bit hard to understand. But insofar as the tennis goes, if these guys don't want to be injected or vaccinated, that's their prerogative. They're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It's no skin off their nose to miss a tournament. There are other countries in the world where you can actually enter based on negative COVID tests.
Yeah.
Maybe if the tennis opens an absolute failure because no one comes, they won't play in Australia in the future. Who knows? Our loss. I don't care. These guys are worth millions. That doesn't really bother them.
No, I disagree with you, Sam. I agree with some points, but I'll tell you this right now. Novak Djokovic sitting on 20 Grand Slams alongside Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer, who are both coming, he will care. Trust me. Stuart's in Ballarat. G'day, Stuart.
Yeah, g'day. I just believe that the confusion with the public, it all comes from the media. Because you guys just report what you want to report. You sensationalise it all and confuse everybody.
Oh, rubbish. Rubbish, Stuart. Absolute garbage. The confusion comes from the misinformation that is being propagated by our different levels of government, does it not?
No.
Stuart, you're not confused right now that the federal immigration minister said if you're not vaccinated, you can't come. And then our own chief health officer of our state says if you come but you're not vaccinated, we'll work through it.
So why does the media have to ask 20 different people the same question?
Because we ask the different questions to those who are able to answer it.
Yeah, but obviously they're not. Like, you just contradicted yourself because...
No,
the,
I didn't. No,
the
no,
federal,
I didn't.
The federal government minister, he should have the say. So why don't we ask some reporter that's out doing the weather? Why don't we get their opinion as well?
Stuart, you're not making any sense. Jade's in Victoria. G'day, Jade.
Great, this can fly. Not in Victoria. At the moment, people need to be vaccinated just to go to work, right? Yeah. How can they justifiably let in tennis players, right? Our country has a really bad history of letting so much fly when it, for quote-unquote sports people, yeah? Mm. If this has got to do with money, the Victorian government needs to lay down because this is crap. People now, your everyday person, is not allowed to go and earn a living for their family if they make a choice, right?
Yep.
I'm not pro, anti, yep. None of it. I want people to live their lives. If this has all got to do with money, the federal and state government should be ashamed of themselves. This is all it's got to do with. If people want to come to Australia, they need to be double vaccinated. Rule simple. I don't care if it's Tennis Australia or the Pope. I don't care. That is the standard. You come here, you get double vaccinated. You don't want to get vaccinated, you don't come. You miss out on your Grand Slam title and you go play somewhere else. If he wants to come, that's it. No ifs, buts or maybes. They just need to put a firm line down on it and be done with it.
Jade, it's the call of the week so far. Hang on, speak to Lawrence on the phone. We'll get you a spinal ease pillow. You might need a bit of a rest after that rant as well. I really enjoyed it. I think Jade speaks for a lot of people, and I'm not saying that she speaks for everyone.
There'll be a lot of angry people if the fans have to be double vaxxed and there are players out there playing on centre court that aren't vaccinated at all.
See, look, I know that politics is in part a game of communication. I get that. And I want Novak Djokovic to come as well because I'm a selfish sports journalist who wants the best players to be there, right? I'm happy to put my hand up. Of course, I've got a dog in the fight, for want of a better term. But I think Jade is the person you have to listen to.
Yep.
Jade is the Victorian that a lot of people agree with. Well, how can it be one rule for this, one rule for the other? The federal government has made a decision that if you're not double vaxxed, you're not coming. Now, I can understand the state government wants the best players there. I can understand that Tennis Australia probably want them there more. But surely after the federal government says that, well, the answer is they're not coming.
Who knows? It might change again tomorrow.
And if it does, we'll be there to bring you the absolute latest. We're going to change tack next on Sports Day. Nasser Hussain has spoken about the importance of Ben Stokes being added to the Ashes squad. We're excited about it. Monty Panesar is going to join us live from England to talk about it.
Well, it's great news, isn't it? I mean, it's obviously great news for England and the England cricket team. Ben Stokes is virtually irreplaceable in any format. You know, he's one of the great all-rounders in world cricket at the moment. But more importantly, it is great news for Ben Stokes, both physically with his finger. It looks like that finger that he damaged in the summer is better. Mentally, it just shows that Ben, having taken a break, an extended break, out of the side, out of the game, is in a better place mentally.
Welcome back to Sports Day, that being the voice of former England Test captain Nasser Hussain. The rhetoric is changing. It's gone from the English media calling it the worst team we've ever sent over to Australia to, oh, hang on.
It could be a chance.
Ben Stokes is back. Monty Panesar has become our own little correspondent here on Sports Day to all things cricket in England. Monty, am I on the money? Are the English media jumping back on the bandwagon?
Well, good evening to you. It's good morning in England. Firstly, thank you for having me on the show. Look, I think, we knew the squad wasn't, as strong as it could have been with Jofra Archer not being there. And the inclusion of Ben Stokes gives us something to cheer about. But let's be honest, England haven't won a test match, for the last, I think, 10 test matches in Australia.
Mm.
And Ben Stokes hasn't played his last competitive match since July the 26th in the 100. So it's going to be a huge, he's going to pack out stadiums. It's going to be huge interest because we all love watching Ben Stokes, which is great news for Cricket Australia. But the Australians were already prepared. Nathan Lyon already said that we expect Ben Stokes to be on that trip.
Yeah.
So I think from a competitive perspective, I think Australia are well prepared for Ben Stokes.
So do you think there is a question mark over whether he can perform given he sat out for so long?
Well, this is the I think if he can do well in Australia, then, yeah, we would definitely say he's up there with Ian Botham, because Ian Botham, you know, that's what makes him the exceptional all-rounder in English cricket. He's done so well in Australia. That's still a question mark. I know he scored 100 at Perth and he took 15 wickets two series ago. He couldn't go in the last one because of you know, that Bristol situation. But it's great news. It's going to get people to watch the Ashes. Everyone's going to have that hope of optimism in England that, yes, we can do it. You know, when Ben Stokes has a bat in his hand or a ball, we're going to think, yeah, he's going to produce that Headingley moment. But the Australian conditions are completely different, you know, and the Australians are well equipped. They would know how to, you know, beat England in Australia. So I think, you know, the Australians, they already said it in the media a few weeks back, you know, so they already knew that Ben Stokes will be coming on this trip. So you can see how prepared this Australian team is.
Hey, Monty, what's the perception of Ben in England? I mean, he's seen on these shores as obviously a great player, but a bit of a bad boy that's had a few issues off the field as well. And far be it for Australians to judge. We've developed a few of those our own. But what's his perception? You talked about him being much loved there a little while ago.
He's Superman. We see him as Superman of cricket, and simple as that. We just think, oh, you know, as fans, cricket fans, who love watching Ben Stokes, here's going to be another magical moment. Here's going to be another Headingley moment, another World Cup moment. And that's what we are going to expect from him in Australia. I know, you know, we all want him to be in a happy place, and it's so good to see him mentally being so well. But there will be that sense of expectation of like, well, can he do that, you know, at Brisbane? Can he do that, you know, in Sydney? Can he do it at Melbourne? We that's what we're going to be wanting to see, is that same repeated performance in Australian conditions. And I hope he doesn't put that pressure on himself as well if it doesn't, you know, go that way. I think he just needs to be happy within himself. And if it doesn't go, you know, in Australia, it's okay. As long as he's happy, he's got his mates around him, he's got his best mate around him, which is Joe Root. That's really important. And he's recently talked about talking is so important with his family, with his, you know, wife, his friends. He's got to keep doing that, not keep it inside, you know. If it doesn't, you know, go as well as he wants it to go in Australia, don't put pressure on himself. Just enjoy the whole atmosphere of being at the Ashes, you know. And we know it's a tough place. Australia are supremely strong in their own conditions. But it's okay. As long as he's in a good place, that's the most important thing.
And how much of a psychological boost for the team will it be, do you think? I mean, we know what he can do with the bat and the ball, but he's also very aggressive. Monty, he's not
a talisman, isn't he?
You can't bully him. And I think, do you think that will be a big part of it as well, the psychological edge that England might get from this?
Absolutely. You know, he's a player who lifts all the other England players in the team. He makes them into better, performs them better. He demands a sort of, you know, that high level sort of performances from them. And that's the kind of, I think, competition we want to see during the Ashes. You know, we don't want to quickly just phase it out and Australia, you know, like they have been, just dominant in their own conditions. So it would be nice to see, you know, Ben Stokes, some of that heroic performances we see in England, can he actually, you know, repeat that in Australian conditions? We don't know. We actually don't know yet, but it's brilliant just to see Ben Stokes. Just the name Ben Stokes on an England, you know, 11, you're going to get massive ticket sales. You're going to get huge viewership. So it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant just to see Ben Stokes back in this England team.
It's just about to turn 8:30 in the morning there. Monty, what are the tabloids saying today? What's dominating the headlines? Is it cricket or is it the pressure building on Manchester United?
It's Manchester United. Everyone is saying Zidane doesn't have a job, will be coming to Man United. Some people are saying, you know, give him until the Manchester derby against Man City, because all the Man City fans want to win. That's why they want that to happen. But it's huge pressure on Solskjaer at the moment. You know, that 5-0, you know, battering by Liverpool was just unbelievable. It was, you know, it's that sort of level performance since, I think, 1898, when they lost 7-1 when they actually beat, you know, Man United 7-1. So you can see this magnitude of performance. It's never happened. you know, in the history of Man United, you know, football. So if the question remains, you know, will they want, you know, Conte there, Zinedine Zidane, or is it, you know, Solskjaer, you know, do they keep him for another three games? Three games will be max, but it's huge pressure. They're calling for his sacking, and that's all they're talking about. Is Solskjaer to go?
See, nothing gets past Monty, Matt. This is what we're getting on.
Just on that, Monty, just on the overall coverage of sport over there. I mean, football is so dominant. It just dominates absolutely everything. When the Ashes is on, does it get a look in? I mean, is it still on the back burner? Is it still football? Or does Ashes leapfrog it just for that series?
Well, it's going to be depending on how the series starts. If it starts really well and we see you know, competition in any sport, if it's really good and that interest level is high, then absolutely, you know, you're still going to be watching it. But the thing is, with England and Australia and the time difference, it still allows for people are willing to get up early. They're willing to, you know, order their Uber, you know, Uber Eats and Deliveroo, have their meals, you know, when the games are on in the morning, and then they can watch their football afterwards. So, you know, English fans will be just, you know, absolutely stoked, you know, to see, you know, a stronger England team. And also with the, you know, it's cold and, you know, people don't want to go out. You just want to watch cricket in the early morning. That's it, you know.
Makes you feel warm.
It could be a huge interest in England.
I just checked the weather of the Tuesday morning. It's 11 degrees and drizzling, Monty. It sounds like London.
That's very much London, mate. And it's you know, please don't tell me the weather conditions in Melbourne, because it will, you know, probably
25 degrees and sunny today, and only better tomorrow.
Well, there you go. It's I need to be in Australia. That's where I need to be.
Well, when you come, Monty, hop straight into the Sports Day studio. We'd love to have you. Thanks for coming on. We'll chat soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The great Monty Panesar there. More Sports Day after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. We've still got champion jockey Hugh Bowman, three-time winner of the Victoria Derby. Not everything confirmed yet as far as who is riding who yet, but we'll chat to him soon. But first, news headlines with Tony Tardio.
Good evening. Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton insists he does not feel sidelined by new pandemic legislation stripping him of his power to sign off on health orders. Under the bill tabled in Parliament this morning, the Health Minister will assume the responsibility of approving health orders. The Premier will then declare a pandemic, which will be debated by Parliament every 3 months. Shares in Crown Casino have risen almost 9% on news the company will not be stripped of its Melbourne casino licence. The Royal Commission has found Crown unfit to run the casino, but the Commission also found cancellation of the licence was not in the public interest. The Greens say the federal government is pinning too much hope on technology to reduce carbon emissions. The coalition has agreed to adopt a net zero target by 2050. And three major Melbourne musicals have set a date for reopening. Frozen, Moulin Rouge will return to the stage on November 12 as local COVID restrictions ease. Harry Potter and The Cursed Child restart 6 days later on November 18. More news at 7.
Time now for a sports update for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. Tyrepower.com.au.
What's happening in the world of racing? Joseph O'Brien calling on Racing Victoria to tone down its stringent vetting requirements for internationals. That's what we've been talking about a little bit during this week, Maddie. And read today from Michael Lynch in The Age, the controversial CT scan at the centre of this mandatory Melbourne Cup scanning for all runners has suffered mechanical problems. The scanner to look for injuries has got injured.
Couldn't have come at a worse time. So
I'm not trying to make light of it, but goodness me.
They're being very, as you said, vetting these horses.
Stringently.
Very stringently. And so they're putting them all through a CT scan. And they've put a lot of them through, but they've got 16 to go, 16 horses to put through. And a part is coming at the moment en route from America.
So the standing CT scanner is not just sort of roll up on Amazon and have it delivered by 6 o'clock the next day.
No.
What you and I are used to ordering.
It's going to come all the way from the States, and usually someone would jump on a plane with it, but because of the restrictions, it's going to be cargoed over.
Goodness gracious.
So it's an absolute debacle. So I'm not...
it's a mess.
They reckon they'll have it back up and going by Thursday morning, but that's not guaranteed. So I'm not too sure what they're going to do if they can't scan every single horse that will run in the Melbourne Cup.
I think we can ask Hugh Bowman about that very issue. He's been in racing for a long time. The requirements are becoming a lot more strict, and you can understand why. Hugh Bowman to join us live next. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Canstar's most trusted energy retailer, and the new Kia Niro, the electric SUV range. Sam McClure and Matt Granlund with you on this Tuesday evening. Gee, I tell you what, racing in Victoria is, you know, close to my heart, Matt, as I'm sure it is a lot of people in this great state. Some great races here, but a lot of the money is going to Sydney. And you can understand why the Manikato is going to be moved when the Everest is the way that it is. Our next guest, Huey Bowman, doesn't need too much of an introduction, but if he was riding here in Victoria, in Melbourne on the weekend, I mean, he's had three Vic Derby winners since 2010. Lion Tamer, Sangster actually going back-to-back, and Polanski in 13. So he's won three in 4 years there. And now he goes to Rosehill for what is a great race in the Golden Eagle. He's riding the favourite, which is a Melbourne horse, I'm Thunderstruck, with Mick Price. And fair to say, Hugh, as we welcome you in, when there's $7.5 million of prize money on the line, you can understand why you go to Sydney.
Good evening, guys. Yes, it's... it's been a bit difficult this year with the logistics and getting organised. I was lucky enough to get down for the Cox Plate last weekend, but it was a bit hard to really... get myself organised for rides for the Melbourne Carnival this year for that very reason. And, I just thought, well, I don't have a Melbourne Cup ride, and this race is similar prize money. I might just stay up here and see if I can figure in that. It'll be my first ride in the Golden Eagle, actually.
So, logistically, Hugh, what have you had to do to come to Melbourne and then go back to Sydney?
Last Tuesday, all the restrictions were eased by both the New South Wales and Victorian government. So that's made things a bit easier. But, of course, for these races, you're getting booked up 2-3 weeks in advance, maybe more in some cases, as far as the Melbourne Cup's concerned. So, it was a bit hard to sort of get organised to be in Melbourne. And this year, I thought I'll just stay in Sydney and base myself, and only that I got the late option to ride Malunga in the Cox Plate. I sort of made a late dash down to Melbourne, but we had to go through a bit of red tape to get the okay from border security to cross the border, and we stayed. Well, James McDonald and I went together and stayed in country Victoria because we couldn't go to Melbourne in order to come back to Sydney. And as I said, that was all ease throughout the process, but when we were getting organised, there was a lot to do.
It was a great ride at Moonga and the Cox Plate finishing fourth. Hugh, what did you make of the protest that went on in front of you?
It was certainly interesting. In my opinion, I would have been very confident had I been Craig Williams in lodging an objection. But from an optimistic point of view, I truly don't think that Animo would have beaten the winner had the interference not occurred. So I'm sure everyone's got their own opinion, but in my opinion, I think the right decision was made. But if I had been on Animo, I would have been very confident of winning that appeal. So it could have gone either way.
Talking about Melbourne and Sydney, Hugh, we were just talking before the break, a lot of talk down here about the veterinary protocols in Melbourne compared to other jurisdictions like Sydney. Is that noticeable? Have you noticed that yourself?
Yes, I have. I really don't know what to say about it, but there's certainly a lot more scrutiny.
Has there been a change?
I'm not sure whether there's been a change, but there's been a constant build of pressure through horses, international horses, succumbing to injury. And, I think, that's out of everyone's control. And it's a difficult one, but I think the pressure's been built by themselves to an extent, and they've had to adhere to their own protocols, and it's just got to a point where, if there's smoke, there's fire, and if the horses aren't 100%, I'm not suggesting that anyone's made the wrong decision, but there just seems to be a lot of microscope on the process. And, you know, whether that's, you know, I've got, no one wants to see an injured horse. I can assure you of that. So it's just been, it's been a bit of an ongoing thing for a number of years, though, and it's just reached the point that it has.
Hugh, tell us about this pretty special horse, I'm Thunderstruck. Of course, last start winner in the Toorak, probably could have gone chasing for another Group 1 in Derby Day. Instead, Mick Price, who's a Victorian through and through, has gone to Sydney. Capable of pretty special things, this horse.
I think so. I mean, obviously, I haven't had anything to do with him. I've obviously watched him in awe, and he's certainly a talent. He beat the older horses, all comers, the other day, albeit with a pretty attractive weight. But he goes into this race, which is set weights, as a clear favourite. He's drawn in the middle of the field, which is ideal. And, yeah, it's certainly, you know, look, it's a race that's going to get legs. And I think it's a race, it's a fantastic concept, because you see a lot of the headline horses, colts in particular, if they achieve at the highest level as two and or three-year-olds, then they inevitably end up in the breeding barn for reasons that, you know, that's where the big dollars are if you're good enough. But I think races, well, this race in particular, if you can attract horses not to go to stud for an extra 6 months, well, they may as well race on for an extra 12 months. So I think in the future you're going to see this race get better and better and better.
Have you got a ride for the Melbourne Cup here?
I don't. I will be riding in Sydney for first time in maybe, I don't know, 12 or 15 years on Melbourne Cup Day. For the same reason that I said before, I mean, it was, well, to start with, there's only about three or four horses that have enough weight for me to ride them, because I can't ride under 55. Mm. And even that's rock bottom. So, yeah, and it was a bit difficult to go chasing horses when I didn't even know if I could be in Melbourne or not. So it'll be a good day at Randwick. I think we'll have a bigger crowd at Randwick than they will at Flemington. But one thing they won't have at Flemington is the Melbourne Cup. And it's a shame that I'm not there this year, but hopefully next year we can be back there in all our glory.
So just as a watcher, I want your opinion on Incentivise, right? So we know Must Carry 57 kilograms in unbelievable form. So you have to be a freak pretty much to win the Melbourne Cup carrying 57 kilograms. I think 68 horses have carried 57 or more in the race. Only Maccabi Diva has been able to win. We know a freak.
And Protectionist, I think, carried 56 and a half. It was the heaviest winner since 07, somewhere around that.
So is this
horse...
Yeah,
but when Protectionist won, the rates were weighed like about 2 kilos.
Yep.
So he was, in fact, weighted with 54. Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly how much I raised, but I know they'll raise a lot. And so, if you want my honest opinion, I think that this... Obviously, it has a huge effect on the race, but I don't think it has as much effect as other influences, such as the pace of the race.
Okay.
And of all those horses that you mentioned that have carried that much weight, there would have been very few that were genuine winning chances. And I think, personally, I know I'm a heavyweight jockey, but I think the weights get read into a little bit too much. And, you know, the pace of the race and conditions on the day, such as wind factor, barrier draws. But the biggest thing is the tempo. And I've never ridden in a race consistently that can have the pace or the race run at such a different pace. And, you know, really, the year Protectionist won, they went so quick from the outset, and he just sat back and swooped through them. And but yeah, I don't know. I think he can win with 57. I really do, and I wouldn't be reading into the weight too much myself.
Hugh, just as we let you go, who won the golf game between you and James McDonald in Yarrawonga last week?
I won the game, but he won the money. So
how does that work?
You're playing hole by hole, I assume?
hole by hole.
Yeah.
He won the first two. I came in on top on the third one. I should have upped the ante.
Yeah.
He was playing too well. I just didn't have the confidence. It was a good week away. It was a good prep for the Cox Plate, and it was certainly an alternative preparation than what we're used to. But we did what we had to do, and unfortunately, James's horse was scratched, which was devastating for him, and of course Annabelle and the owners, and actually I really felt for them all. But anyway, that is what it is, and another example of the precautions taken. You know, as soon as that horse had a temperature that morning, there was no hesitation for Annabelle to scratch him.
Mm.
And I think that's a fine example of, you know, there was no bet involved there. That was her and her decision, and you can imagine how hard that would have been having to do that. But she did the best thing by the horse, as all trainers in the industry do.
No doubt. Hugh, it's a great privilege to have you on. You're a Hall of Famer. You're a great giver to this program, and we look forward to your spring, even though most of it might be in Sydney. We'll forgive you. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, guys. See you later.
Hugh Bowman, champion jockey. More Sports Day with Matt Cranlin after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy and the new Kia Niro. We're just coming up towards the 7 o'clock news. Matt Cranlin here, filling in for Jared for the week. Hey, Matt, just what Monty was saying. Monty Panesar was talking to us a little bit earlier. Obviously, Ben Stokes back, which is great. But, you know, he talked about how much Manchester United are dominating the British tabloids over there. I mean, so for those people who don't follow football, English football, that is, I mean, Manchester United and their manager about to get sacked is Nathan Buckley losing his job at Collingwood times 50.
50, yep.
And it is literally, I hate using literally out of scope, it is basically anything that's talked about when it comes to sport over there. And Monty is saying that the tabloids are saying that you've got three more games maximum to turn it around.
Gee, they pull the trigger quick over there, don't they? They do not take mediocrity. If you thought the press were hard on our coaches in the AFL, go and just read the tabloids.
And you know what?
Players and coaches.
Whoever's in next, whether it's Zinedine Zidane or it's Antonio Conte or whoever it is,
How many games will you get?
They get about six, I reckon, because that's three at home. You get three at home and three away. And I tell you what, it's a long rest of the season if you don't get fans on side by then.
So there's no four-year, five-year plan over there in the EPL?
No,
you get six games.
There's no Clarko handover. It happens pretty quick. Great to have you on, Matty. See you tomorrow.
See ya.
Night, everyone.